Hello, good morning. Martin Ellis speaking. Welcome to our earnings call. We're very happy you're listening in. I have with me Jonas Olin, our CFO, who will also be presenting what we have. I will now turn to page two, where you have a picture and the title of the slide is Growth in Sales and Earnings. We have delivered, and we're happy about that, a strong second quarter 2016. Just a quick reminder who we are. We are basically one of the two leaders in the North European waterproofing market, the other competitor being Icopal. We have a stronger portfolio of brands, which are specific in many cases to each country, who are long-standing brands, who are well-known by our customers, and who allow us to communicate the quality of our products and services. In the quarter, we've had a 10% organic growth rate over last year. Our sales in the quarter amounted to 522 million SEK against 481 in the same period last year, which is a 9% increase. We have a six-month sales figure of 846 million SEK, which is a 6% increase over last year. So we've actually seen an increase in the growth rate in the second quarter compared to our first quarter this year. The adjusted EBIT before items affecting comparability in the quarter amounted to 84 million SEK against a figure of 66 million SEK last year. This is a 27% increase. And over the first half year, we've increased from 70 million last year to 96 million this year, which is a 37% increase over last year. Our operating cash flow increased to 41 million SEK, which is a relatively modest increase against last year because of some invoicing transfers between quarters. So this is a provisional figure, and in the next quarter, it's very likely we'll see a catch-up there, and you will actually see the effect of our profitability also in our operating cash flow. Earnings per share has increased, of course, but is polluted by items affecting comparability. So I would say these figures are not as significant as the EBIT growth figures we've shown a second ago. But obviously, you can see an increase both in the quarter and the first half year. We can turn to the next page, page three. You have a reminder of our geographic presence here. You can see that we are mainly present in the four Nordic countries with the comparable sales figures, except Norway, where we have been active only in the last 3 years, where we have a growth strategy and where our target is to ultimately have a similar presence as we have in the three other Nordic countries. You can also see the sales offices we have throughout northern continental Europe and the UK. And you can also see the prefabrication units we have in our rubber business, where we not only sell the rolls, but we also prefabricate an entire roof with this material through a local manufacturing shop, which is, by the way, one of the avenues for growth we see in the coming quarters and years. Our split by business segment on the lower left is quite unchanged compared to the last year and the last quarter. A majority is what we call products and solutions, where we manufacture a product and sell it, or where we insource to a smaller extent products which we sell to the same customer group. The second segment being the installation services, which we do in Finland as a 100% owned activity. So that's the figures you see reflected here. But where we also have a franchise system in Denmark, where we own only 40% of our franchisees and therefore do not consolidate the sales in our group figures. Turning to page four, again, a reminder basically of the fact that we address basically the whole outside, the whole shell of buildings and houses. So our products come into a majority of these applications. You can see we also have applications which protect the basement of the building and infrastructure, groundwork such as ponds or bridges, which are not pictured here, but which is also a significant sales area for us. Moving on to page five, we've shown here four projects we've recently done or we are doing right now, which show our exposure to two growing market segments. Environmental protection is one of them. Maintenance of roofs is the other. Regarding maintenance of roofs, you see an example on the upper left in Sweden, where we periodically are able to inspect the roof and have a technology which allows to detect leaks very easily. And without these techniques, it's extremely difficult to understand in a roof where a leak comes from. So this technology really helps a lot. The other three pictures, especially two pictures on the right, show both environmental-friendly applications, where on the upper right, we're able to bind NOx through a special impregnation of our product. And on the lower right, you can see a large area of green roofs, which obviously also a growing application in terms of aesthetics, of course, but also in terms of absorbing rainwater. And you certainly know that there's an increasing number of heavy rains, which pose problems in terms of evacuating the water in a shorter time frame. Turning to page six, you have a picture of the sales channels we use. So basically, we are present in all sales channels for our type of product portfolio. And there's really two main classes. One is direct sales to contractors, whether it's outside independent contractors or our own installation services business. The other avenue, the other channel, is through builders merchants, whether they be traditional builders merchants or so-called DIY merchants. Usually, we sell through the direct channel to larger contracting companies and through the builders merchants channels to smaller contractors who are able to take away from an outlet the whole range of product categories they need from the builders merchants, which we don't necessarily produce or sell. So the builders merchants channel has definitely a logistics function, which is important for smaller contracting businesses. Turning to page seven, I will turn it over to Jonas, our CFO, who will lead you through the following slides.
Thank you, Martin. As you started off in the beginning, we have the strongest second quarter ever in the Nordic Waterproofing Group history. The consolidated sales, 522 million Swedish kronor compared to 481 million the previous quarter last year, which is a 10% organic growth. Primarily, the growth is driven by good sales in Denmark and Finland, up 18%, and Norway, 10% measured in Swedish kronor. If we adjust for the currency effects, the growth in Norwegian kronas is 17% up in the second quarter. Sweden sales were somewhat lower, primarily connected to lower EPDM sales in Sweden and some lower sales in the do-it-yourself sales channel. The operating profit, EBIT, 84 million in the quarter, which could be compared to 66 million the previous year. This is due to improved gross margins in both operational segments, higher production volumes, sales volumes, as well as beneficial lower raw material costs than previous year. If we turn over to page 8, that 522 million increase in net sales on a rolling 12-month basis, that is equivalent to 1,766 million, which could be compared to the previous full year 2015 of 1,720 million. Operating profit, 84 million on a rolling 12-month basis, that is now at 209 million, compared to the previous full year figure of 182 million Swedish kronor. I would like to point out also the net financial items, 6 million in the period. As a consequence of the IPO, we have a new finance agreement in place and have actually expensed 2 million, a one-time effect of prepaid bank costs due to the early termination of the previous agreement. Moving over to slide 9. As Martin said in the beginning, we have a strong organic growth of 10% in the quarter, 7% year-to-date, so we see a higher growth rate in the second quarter compared to the first quarter, primarily driven by Norway, Finland, and Denmark. We are currently gaining market share in the Norwegian flat roofing segment. We also see a market recovery from low levels in Finland, primarily driven by larger projects in the Helsinki area. And we are maintaining a strong position in the Danish market, which is running very well at the moment. Currency effects, I mentioned the Norwegian crown before. That is a negative effect of 1% in the quarter and also year to date. The euro and the British pound so far has been quite stable compared to previous year. Turning to slide number 10. We have some adjustments of the operating profit in our profit and loss statement. I would like to point out that it's a clean statement. We only have a cost connected to the IPO, 9 million in the period and 13 million year to date. And what is important at this stage is that we have accounted for all IPO costs, so there are no additional costs coming the coming quarters. And then I mentioned the two costs of the financial cost, which is not included in the adjusted EBIT. So that goes into the financial items. Turning to page 11, we have a strong balance sheet. There is really no changes compared to previous quarters and what we have disclosed previously. What has happened in the second quarter as a consequence of the IPO, the previous long-term incentive program was finalized. Warrants have either been exercised or repurchased by the company, but in total have given an additional net of 26 million coming into the company, adding to equity and decreasing the net debt. I mentioned the new finance agreement, which has also been implemented after the IPO. The Trelleborg vendor note has been repaid, and we also have a new agreement with one of the major banks, which will decrease our interest costs going forward. We have also released all the previously pledged assets have been released as a consequence of the new financing agreement. Turning to slide 12, we'll go into the operating segments. The product and solutions segments show sales of 397 million in the quarter compared to 377 million last year, the same quarter, which is an increase of 5%. Operating profit in this segment was 82 million SEK compared to 69 million SEK the previous year, which is an increase by 19%. On slide 13, we'll move into the other operating segment, installation services. As Martin mentioned, I would like to start to point out that we only consolidate the Finnish business, which is fully owned in the installation services business. So the net sales is only connected to the changes in the Finnish business. Net sales of 156 million compared to 129 million the previous year, or 22%. When it comes to the profit, also the Danish franchise companies are included, the profit from the associated companies as well as a royalty income. EBIT ends up at 9 million compared to 3 million the previous year. We have a continued strong order book in Finland, 35% up compared to previous year. Slide 14 shows our continued strong cash flow and strong cash conversion. We have historically during the last years been around 82% up to 105% in 2015. On a rolling 12-month basis, we are currently at 97% cash conversion. So we continue a strong cash conversion in 2016. The operating cash flow in the quarter was 41 million compared to 39 million the previous year. It is temporarily affected by higher trade receivables, which will convert into cash in the third quarter. We move over to slide 15. We have four key raw materials in the group, bitumen, polyester, SBS, and EPDM compounds. I would start to say that we have a small typo in the presentation. Bitumen is currently approximately 20%. It says 25%. Currently about 20% of the total raw material cost. And the hedging arrangements, which we have moved into, we have started to hedge the first half of next year, approximately 50% of the purchase volumes in the first half, or corresponding 25% of the total annual need, which is in accordance with the policies. Martin, I hand over to you again.
Yeah, so if you want to turn to page 16, this is a reminder of the growth opportunities we continue to see in our business. First one, I think we've had good progress, as you've seen in the sales figures in Norway. We are continuing to build on our Norwegian base to ultimately achieve comparable market share and market position as we have in the three other countries. The second item, the EPDM platform in relevant European markets, what we want to do there is to increase the number of prefabrication shops. Currently, we have our main prefabrication shop in Belgium, and we have plans to expand in that direction in the UK, in Switzerland, potentially Poland, and we have a platform, a pipeline of projects going on in this strategic area. The third item is to strengthen our position in markets by product portfolio and segment expansion. And here we are talking specialized roofing system, which we've seen some examples of earlier, maintenance systems, liquid products. And again, we have made progress, and we have projects in the pipeline for the rest of this year in this area. In terms of M&A, we have not concluded any M&A operation in this quarter, but again, we have a pipeline of several projects which are active right now and which will hopefully, some of them will be implemented in the rest of this year. And of course, we continue to focus on operational excellence in especially the manufacturing area. And believe we will see further progress also in the rest of this year in that arena. Turning over to page 17, this again is a reminder of our financial targets and of our dividend policy. So regarding sales growth, I think we've confirmed in this quarter that we've been able to grow slightly faster than the market, general market demand. In terms of profitability, we've achieved the target you can see here, the 10% minimum EBIT margin in our total business. In terms of the capital structure, there is no change, of course, so we're still on target to have an debt to EBITDA ratio of maximum 2.5 times, and at this point, obviously, we're quite far away from that figure because no significant acquisitions have taken place in the quarter. We confirm our dividend policy, which is to distribute at least 50% of our net profit. Turning to the last page of this presentation, page 18, the outlook for 2016. We have previously guided that we see an approximately 10% increase in our EBIT before items affecting comparability. We have slightly changed that to say that we now believe we will achieve at least a 10% increase in this parameter. And the reason for that is mainly the good performance we've had in the quarter. We believe that it's adequate to guide in this form, and we don't feel that we're in a position to guide any more optimistic than that at this point. But we are very confident in the guidance we are putting forward at this time. That is our presentation. Thank you all for listening. But we now have the opportunity to answer questions. So we will be very happy to answer questions from your part.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. There'll be a brief pause while registered. The first question comes from the line of Anna Sisbo from ABG Sundal Collier. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just a few questions on the installation business, perhaps. You had 22% growth in Q2, and I know it's been a problem just ramping up installers. So I'm just wondering, you know, how much you can drive that further. I see that the backlog is up by 55 million. Will that be converted into sales already this year? That's the first question. Maybe I can come back with a few more.
Yes, absolutely. That's an excellent question. And what we see right now is really we are quite close to the ceiling in terms of available manpower. So this means that the backlog will exist for a good while, I would say. The way we've increased our capabilities is we in some instances have the opportunity to hire temporary workers to help absorb the big backlog we have right now. That's what we've done this quarter, and obviously we'll continue to do so. Obviously watching the quality of our work very closely in that case.
Right. And I know you mentioned previously that there's been overcapacity in Finland, which has pressured prices, and I guess now the opposite would be true, I guess. So is increased price is also a factor behind the improved margin there?
The situation right now is that we haven't seen any price increases. We haven't been able to obtain price increases so far. And your question is very pertinent. In theory, we should see price increases in the future, but it's definitely too early to announce any trend of that sort.
Okay, and just the final one for me, just on the hedging, on the price levels on the bitumen that you've hedged for the early part of next year, how does that differ compared to what you experienced in the first half of 2016?
It's quite close to 2016 levels.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Kenneth Toll Johansson from Carnegie. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Yeah, so to continue on the raw material discussions, so the raw material cost must be down year over year, and I was thinking about how that has affected pricing, not on the installation services, but on the product side of your business. Have you seen any price declines or any competitors lowering prices, or have yourself lowered prices?
Yeah, basically what has happened is, I would say to some extent quite unusual, is that the big picture is we've been able to maintain prices quite successfully. But when you look in detail, we have seen a price decrease of approximately maybe 1 to 2%. So a very slight decrease, I would say. So we've kept most of this benefit so far. And I would say in terms of the outlook, we don't see right now any increased price pressure. So we think we will have maybe to give up again, according to the same trend line, about 1 or 2% overall. We don't see any dramatic fall in prices at this point. But that obviously can change in terms of the competitive behavior of the other players.
Okay. And you haven't seen any sort of sheep producers in Russia trying to be more aggressive or anything like that?
Nothing significant, no.
No, okay. Then I was also thinking about Sweden a bit. Your sales is down there, but a lot of newspapers are full of news that construction is booming and so on. It's a lot on the housing side. But still, are you sort of happy with the Swedish side, or do you think you lost a little bit of market share? Or?
Yeah, the answer to that is that we have seen a bit of weakness in the last, I would say, 3 months, I guess, in terms of the general demand. And as I mentioned in the beginning, that might be partly linked to a reduction in the government assistance to the building industry. In terms of market share, we are very confident that we have not lost any market share in Sweden in 2016.
Okay, good. Then I was positively surprised about the very strong organic growth. Looking historically, you often have quite low changes in sales, a couple of percentages up or down. So did you experience any problems in producing, in ramping up production or logistics or anything like that when you had such a good growth in this quarter?
Yeah, the answer is no. And the reason for that is that we're still operating at a quite low percentage of our practical and, of course, theoretical capacity in our manufacturing locations. So we're still at a level where we can significantly increase production without working on weekends, which is expensive, of course. So we have had enough headroom to serve this demand.
Great. And then on the acquisition side, I mean, the balance sheet is very strong. Have you started looking at acquisitions only very recently, or have you been sort of looking at it, been in some discussions for some time? I mean, starting even before the IPO, or...
Yeah. Yes, that's a good question. I think basically we've started putting a little more emphasis on acquisitions at the beginning of 2016, beginning of this year. And as I mentioned, we have a pipeline of projects and discussions, a number of projects in this pipeline. But of course, this takes some time. We don't want to make any mistakes. And but we are quite optimistic that in the next 6 to 12 months we will be able to conclude a few of these operations.
And most of them, are they family owned, or are they owned by larger companies, or?
I would say at this point predominantly family owned. So that's the main targets we have. And the reason, as we explained at the time of the IPO, is that usually you get reasonable multiples in this sort of situation. And also we're looking at relatively smallish targets compared to our own size. And again, that reduces the risk of each transaction.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I remind you that if you want to ask a question, you have to press 01 on your telephone keypad. There'll be a further pause while questions are being registered. We have a question from Anders Idborg from ABG Sundal Collier. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thank you. Just a few more. So we have this investigation from the Danish competition authorities that has been going on for some while already. I just wondered if there's any progress or new information coming up on, and when we will potentially have a ruling there.
Yeah, the answer to that one is nothing significant has happened in the quarter up to today. So basically, the authorities is working on the subject. Whenever there are questions, obviously, we fully cooperate with them. But there hasn't been any significant new data point there.
Right, good. And just a clarification, I mean, Jonas, you mentioned the all of the IPO cost is now in there. Should we take it there will be no extraordinary cost or no adjustments to EBIT for the remainder of this year, no other sort of restructuring or anything like that coming up?
I can say that we currently have no additional costs planned at this stage.
Okay, that's helpful. That's all for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions at this time, I'll return the conference to the speakers.
Okay, well, I would like, and Jonas, we would like to thank you very much for listening in, and it's been a good set of questions, and we look forward to seeing you during the quarter and obviously at the next conference call in November. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.